I want to turn to that passage. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. What we have here is a real gift. A real gift from God. I mean, it is really, really great that we're all here, and it's, you know, we really feel blessed to hear this word together as a church and Grace Church, to open up our hearts to what God has for us in store. It's a big gift. Are you ready for a big gift? To receive some good news, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Right? It's the first one, ask. It's the second one, seek. The third is knock. Can you remember those?
Yes.
Yeah. These words are not hidden. They're right here in our Bible. They're here right in the book of Matthew. And they're of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who gave us life through his death on the cross and rose again and is coming again. And these are the words that he gave to his disciples to encourage them when they pray. To encourage people that when they pray, they are heard. You know, if you take your bulletin today, we hear it in the call to worship. Right? Psalm 34, 3 to 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Why? I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Right there. I sought the Lord, seek, right?
Yes.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me. If you think that God doesn't answer prayer, then go here and turn to this verse, keep it handy, and remind yourself that he does. Right? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Why do we rejoice in the Lord? Because he hears us and he answers us. He's with us. Pastor Chang, who visited a couple of weeks ago and gave a sermon and shared his life with us, always says Emmanuel when he writes you. He always puts that into his emails. Emmanuel, God with us. Because he knows that he is. And he experienced it. It's not just something he learned in seminary or that he wrote down because someone told him that. It's because he experienced it in his life. Have you experienced God in your life? Right? We hope so. If you haven't, you can pray this, you know, in this way. Or ask him to reveal himself. And it will be given to you. He'll give himself to you. What could be more simple? Ask, and it will be given to you. We have another one in the song today. I keep forgetting all my stuff. Sorry. The first song that we sang, and it was intentional, I know. Friend of God, on page 2, who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you're thinking of me? How you love me, it's amazing. That you hear me when I call. God hears us when we call to him. He answers our prayers. And that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to give the disciples this very, very important lesson. That when we ask, we will receive. It will be given to us. Seek, when we seek, we will find. It's not just like this hope that we come across something in life. It's a surety. A surety. Certainty. That we will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. So Jesus is teaching them that God listens and hears and answers prayer. Now, if you're like me, we ask, and then we think, is it going to be heard? Is it going to be, you know, answered? Right? You feel? You know what I'm talking about, right? What does it take then? What else is Jesus teaching? He's teaching faith. There's a movie that just came out not long ago. It's called Nonas. It's a very funny movie, and there's these this guy inherits money from his mother, and he buys a restaurant, and he thinks he's going to honor her by starting a restaurant and opening up a restaurant. He had no experience at all. But his mother was and his grandmother were both incredible Italian cooks. They're Italian family. And they were great cooks, and so they had all these recipes and all these different things that they had. He saw them cooking, and he tasted their food. And so he thought, well, the best way to honor my mother would be to carry this on. And so he goes around, and he finds grandmothers who can cook food just like his grandmother and his mother did, right? And it's called nonnas, which is grandmother in Italian, right? And so in that film, they face a crisis. He opens up the restaurant, and there was a fire, and they put out the fire, and they thought everything was all right, but the fire inspector came for the building, and he said, we have to shut you down. There's things that need to be done inside the kitchen. The kitchen, there was a fire here. You can't just start again. You need a new oven. You need these different things. And then he said, I'm going to take away your occupancy license. You can't have the restaurant. Right, so they were all these grandmothers that were there ready to cook in the restaurant and to get going and to open up, were all faced with this, and this guy didn't know what to do. And he called them together and he said, we don't have an occupancy, we can't keep going with this idea. And so one of them, who spent time in a nunnery, she left the nunnery to come and to join in with this restaurant, she goes down on her knees, and do you know what she prays? Ask, and it will be given to you. Do you believe in signs that God speaks to us? That was this week, okay? I mean, I believe that that is a sign from God that he wants us to hear that message, okay? I mean, it's in the movie. It had overtones of religion, but she got down on her knees in that moment, and she did exactly what we need to do. She got down on her knees, but it gets better. They all looked at her, and she was praying, and she got up, and they said, what do we do now? And she said, we wait. We wait. That's exactly the answer that we need to give. We wait. We don't wonder. We don't guess. We don't give God a timeline. We don't say, okay, I said this, and you said you'd answer, so it has to come at this frame of time that I have in mind. We wait. And that is another big theme in the Bible. We wait for the Lord to answer what we ask him for. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. The three together are to emphasize the importance that we have to persevere in faith to God in prayer. Right? That is the purpose one of the purposes that Jesus used these three together. And he gave them a little different flavor for each one to help us to be able to understand and to relate in those things. But it's also in the Bible that way. It's all through the Bible. It's not just Jesus bringing a new concept to them. Right? And so I want to read you a few scriptures here. But I just read this one, right, that's in your call to worship today, right? And there's one in that song that we sang today, right? But there's other ones, too, that we find that help our faith to grow so that we don't just think, you know, how am I supposed to know this is going to work? Right? So let me read a few. Okay, just a few to you to give you some encouragement today. In Psalm 116, the first verse, it says, I love the Lord. Again, I love the Lord. Why do I love the Lord? Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he has heard my voice, I love him. Do you know how important it is in the world when someone feels like they're being heard? Right? I mean, that's actually, oftentimes people say it just feels good to be heard. People don't even go to the other part, like you take action for them. They just want you to hear their concerns. They want their opinion to be heard. And that is something that we can also grow in our own lives from Jesus, to say, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to listen to what you're saying. I'm going to hear your opinion. I'm going to hear you out. There's dignity in that. And that is what God gives to us as well. Right? He hears us. He also has the power to answer us. And he uses people in our lives also to do that. It says, goes on, because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. I love, isn't that great? Because he inclined his ear to listen to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. I know I can trust him. There's great trust in there. There's great faith in this psalm. And it's just for us. Right? I mean, they wrote it down so many years ago, but it was right here for us today to accept this and know that we can go to God and call on him and know that we will be heard. He inclines his ear to us. He goes down and he listens to what we have in our hearts. That is so important. Amen. Okay, another one. Psalm 56, 1. We've been studying David. I think this is David. Yeah. This is when David was seized by the enemy, the Philistines. Some of these psalms take a while. They start off with someone calling out and praying to God. And then when you go through the psalm, you're reading all these different things going on. And then at the end of the psalm, sometimes people think that it's in the midst of writing these psalms that God answers them. Even while they're being written, that in that time, he answers. Some of them might be an experience that someone had, and then later on, God gave them that answer, and then they write it down. But it's whichever way you take it, God answers. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. Very real, right? You feel trampled on. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? And then at the very end of the psalm, it goes on and it explains all these different things that people have done to him. And he's going back and forth with God and remembering he can trust God. And the last line is, you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. That's what comes out of that whole trampling part. I'm being trampled on, God. I feel down. I feel like I'm being threatened. I'm being attacked on all sides. We have these things go into our lives like that. And we work through them in prayer to God and what comes out. For you have delivered my soul from death. Deliverance. You will be delivered. So far, we got to remember that we don't depend on our own ability to have faith. We read God's word, and it instills faith in our hearts. We need to be students of the Bible. We need to be looking at our lives. This is our life. He's our life. And we gain what we need, the perspective, the answers, all of the things from God. Because he loves us. And he wants to hear, he inclined his ear to David, and he saved him and delivered him. That I may walk before God in the light of life. Okay. Psalm 40, verse 1. Hope this is helpful. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. There it is. I waited, just like that woman, she got down on her knees, she got up from her knees, they said, what do we do now? We wait. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from destruction. Okay, I think I have another one, but that's enough. Okay, so you get the idea, right? God answers prayer in the midst of a psalm writing, even while the person is writing this down, or he has done that after they prayed, and they made such an impression on this person that their love for him is so great they want to just love him forever. I'll give you a couple of examples from the Bible where people have prayed and received answers. Hannah. She was childless. She was mocked and feeling low down because she didn't have a child. She went and she poured out her heart to God. She went to the temple and prayed so fervently, right, with so much emotion that the priest thought that she was drunk. Remember that story?
Yes.
And God heard her prayer. And what did she do, though? She said, if you give me a child, I will devote him to your service for the rest of his life. She would part from that child that she so desperately wanted from God, and she was true to her promise when she received her son, and his name was Samuel, and he served God the rest of his life. So Hannah prayed to God fervently, crying out to him. He inclined his ear to her. He listened to her. He answered her prayer. But it took a lot of fervency. It took a lot of perseverance in prayer. It took her whole heart. And that's what the Bible talks about over and over again. I will seek you with all of my heart. It was a man named Elijah. The book of James tells us that he prayed fervently to God that it would rain, and then it says for 3.5 years it rained, and then he called to God and it stopped raining.
Yes.
Right? But the biggest thing his biggest act of faith was actually calling out the idol worshippers of Baal, mm-hmm. It was a rain god really, and saying, Lord, bring down fire upon this offering in front of these people and show them that you are God, and that kind of a faith. Can you now put yourself in that kind of position? You have an audience there, and you have all those people there, and they're all thinking, our God has not brought fire down on this offering, okay? And he says, my God will, gets on his knees and prays, and says, Lord God of Abraham, come and answer and show these people so that they may know you as being the true God, and he rains down fire on that offering, and God answered his prayer. In Psalm 119, I've been reading Psalm 119. I got out of practice and doing it every day, but I've returned to it. God was really putting that on my heart. It's 176 verses, okay? So sometimes you just feel like, oh, can I do this every day? And only by God's help can you do something like that. But it's filled with someone who is saying, I love the law of the Lord. I love rules. I love discipline. I love all these different things. And at first you're thinking, I can't relate to that so well. You know, all this talk about the law and everything like that, if God were to say it a different way, maybe. But as you get into it more and more, you appreciate, actually, that obedience to God, obeying him, to being disciplined in your life is really helpful. It gives you structure in your life. It gives you that feeling, you know, you're connected to the one who gives you life. And it keeps you out of trouble. There's a verse in there that says, help me not to look at worthless things. I can tell you that that helped me a lot because I tended to look at a lot of worthless things, and I still do. Worthless things. But it's right there. And telling you what you need to do so that you can have life that is filled with God. Right? Not these other things that are just going to be wasted away. Right? But listen to what he asks for in terms of asking for something, to be given something. Give me understanding. So when Jesus says that, you know, we can think of all kinds of different things we can ask for. And he will do that. I really believe that. He will honor our prayer for those things. When we really ask him, instead of, you know, not something luxurious or something like that that we don't need, but it fits in with his will and fits in with the things in the kingdom of God, we will receive what we need. But here he says, what am I asking for? I'm asking for you to give me understanding. Help me to understand what your law is saying. Help me to understand what your word is saying. Help me to understand these things that I'm getting into in life here with you, Lord. Did you ever pray for understanding? I didn't start to. I mean, there might have been some times when I've done that, but I rarely think of that. I think more of other material things, right? Or a person who's sick or things like that. But there's understanding that helps us to be able to hear God in that, right? To understand God and the way he works and the way he's thinking. So that's a big one we need to. And then it also says this, give me life. Now when I read that, I'm thinking, give me life, meaning I want something more important than what I'm after in life. The things that are going to really be sustaining, things that are going to be of value, things that are going to be of you, God, that are life inhabiting. Give me life that is not just for a short time, but that is going to be forever with you. That is the kind of thing. And that may be one of those things that we need to grow in. But the more that you say that to God and you ask him for those things, it's in his word, and we imitate what is said here, the more that God will show us what that means. You know what I mean? He will show you what it means. And it will become more clear. He will put an image in your mind. He will put a word in your heart. He will speak to you. He will answer in a way that you need to hear that, in the way that you need to know that. I was reading in a booklet that I sent out to many of you. I don't know if everybody has a copy, but I'm going to make some hard copies too. It's no longer in print, but it's called God at Center. And it's by Luis Palau. And Luis Palau was a great evangelist, but he had a heart for God and he loves people. He's no longer with us, but he wrote this booklet, and it talks to you about the basic things that we need to keep God at center in our lives. And I began to read that. You know, not just telling people to read it, but reading it myself and practicing that. And Matthew 7:7 was one of the verses that he put in that booklet. And I went to that booklet, and I opened it up, and I didn't know what I was going to see there, but I went to Matthew 7:7, and I read, ask and it will be given to you, and it hit me right in my heart. And it was, I knew that God was speaking to me and that I was following his direction using Luis Palau, putting that verse in that booklet so that I would read it. And not only that, but for me to share it with all of you. And the reason that it was because that it hit me is it took away my restlessness. I was feeling restless. I was feeling, I don't know how else to put it. I didn't have peace. Okay? I didn't know what it was, but it was reflecting in my attitude about things, about life, about people, all different kinds of things, and I just felt restless. And I was thinking, what is going on? And I got to that verse, and I read that verse, and it doesn't say, speak to me and I'll stop you from being restless. But when I read the words of Jesus, ask and it will be given to you, I realized that I was lacking in my relationship and my daily walk with God. And so my restlessness was a call to go to him and to begin to pray more, to pray these words of Jesus and ask him in faith for things that are on my mind, that are making me restless, and to trust that he's going to give it to me. I didn't need to go any further than the first one. Ask and it will be given to you. And one of the big things that helped was Luis Palau's direction to say, keep a journal and write down a request that you get. Ask God for something, one big thing on your mind, and then write down the date. And then when God answers that, write the date that he answers you next to it. And to me, that reinforces our faith. We're not only writing that down the request or saying it to God, but we're writing down the date and then also expecting to write the date he answers it next to it. And that helped me immensely. I have a little bit of restlessness left over, but I think that that's a help to remind me that I need to get on my knees. And I need to read all of Psalm 119 every day. And I need to read these verses from Jesus and remember to ask him in faith so that my faith will grow. And that's really what this is about. It's about growing faith inside of us, that we're not merely doing something thinking, oh, I hope it works, like taking an aspirin and then saying, okay, it's going to fix my headache. It's something deeper than it. It's life-giving that God is giving to us. We're looking in a way far too small at our lives. God is incredibly great. He's incredibly great, and he has all the power. But what does he say later on in these verses? Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So I just want you to think about that. God is ready to give us good things. Right? And if we, I mean, he says it this way, I think intentionally to get our attention. If you who are evil, wait a minute, you know, that's kind of rude, isn't it? It's the truth. I mean, compared to God, we're not holy, right? But we're underestimating God. That's his whole point. I am the God of the creation. I have creation. I've given you your life. I've given you everything in your life, right? How could you possibly think that I would not want to give you something good? Why aren't you talking to me about your life? Why aren't you asking me for things that you need? Why are you not coming to me and sharing those things with me? Are you doubting me that much? Do you really think? Or is it perhaps that you want those things a little bit more than you're willing to admit? So we need to think about our lives and we need to be honest with God. But if we truly mean it, when we ask him to give us something, then we're going to trust that he's going to answer us in the time that he desires and when he sees it as being the right time. Right? But he will answer it. He will give this. But there's much more that he gives to us. He gives us understanding. He gives us understanding about life, not just material things that are going to fill the hole for a time. He gives us understanding on how we're going to live and also how we're going to help other people live that are in our lives, right? We're all really in need of something. But God says, you find it in me. I am that thing, right? When I got down on my knees and I prayed for the thing that I felt like at that moment that I needed to pray for and I really wanted that to happen, I was faced with all kinds of feelings like doubts and past experiences and thinking, trying to overcome that. It was hard. It was hard. It was hard for me after the first day to get into the word and to start reading it just like Luis Palau was saying, to practice it like that. It wasn't easy. By no means was it easy. But I knew it was the thing I needed to do. And so we need to work through that and pray for God to give us strength in those moments to pray and to stay there with him and to wait on him. It's all of those things coming together. But it's worth it, right? If there's really something that you want to do and you want to achieve, you're willing to go through that hardship, aren't we? We know that we're going to have to pay the price if we want to achieve great greatness in music and learn how to practice our instruments. Right? We need to study our accounting books if we really want to be an accountant, don't we? And is it always easy to do? No, it's not. But we pour ourselves into it because we want to achieve something there. And so we pour ourselves into our prayer life and into our time with God because it's important.
Yes.
He's important.
Amen.
Right? You can share with him your thoughts. Jeremiah 29, 12, 13. It says, seek, you will seek and find me. With my whole heart, I will seek you. With my whole heart, I will seek you. We learn to meet the meaning of what that is, to seek the Lord with all of our heart. So I have a little card. You have a little card in your bulletin? We have some pens. Also, if you don't have a little index card, raise your hand if you need a pen. Daniel will come around and give you a pen. Home people and Zoom can also take a piece of paper, okay, and a card. You have a card in your bulletin. If you don't have a card, you don't have a card up here, right? Can we have some cards, too? Up here in front. Raise your hand if you need a card. Okay, so what I want you to do is to take a moment, and I want you to think, and it's not a must, okay? You don't have to feel any pressure, but I'd like you to try. One thing that you really, really have been struggling with, that you need an answer for in your life, that's something that is on your mind and your heart, write it down, and write down the date that you write it. And then keep it with you, and when you have received the answer from God, write it down the date after. Okay. Take some time to do that. It doesn't have to be a long request. It could be something just something so you'll know what it is. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The instruction in that little booklet that I can actually send you a copy by email if you need it, you want to look at it that way. But the instruction is to keep a journal. And a journal is a really good way to keep yourself organized in prayer and to write down the thoughts you have and also a daily walk with God and keep track of the things that you want. We need those kind of things. I think that's why Louis Palau said that. It's not his idea maybe, but he's one that speaks to us now in his experience in that area. And he also gives other verses that we can read together and as we go before God in prayer. There's one last thing that I want to share with you that came up out of the lectionary today, which was the attitude of prayer. Yes, we need faith, but we also need humbleness. We need humbleness in prayer, right? In the book of Isaiah, in that same chapter 58 that I read from before, the people were saying, we're fasting, we're praying, how come we don't get anything? How come it's not, you know, changing for us? And God said, you need to stop living for yourself. You need to start living for others. Feed the hungry and the poor. Right? That will be a good way to start. And then the other thing when you go into prayer is to honor God by keeping the Sabbath holy. That was the thing that they had gotten away with. Because they brought their wares on the Sabbath and they were selling them and everybody was exchanging everything just like every other day of the week. And God was saying, you're wondering why I'm not listening to your prayers? Because you're not making me central to your life. You're just mixing it all in. But he needs to be the center of our lives. We need to take away those things and say, why, when a person doesn't sell something on the Sabbath, that means that they're trusting God is going to provide for them, isn't it? That they don't need that day. I had a friend who went to Germany, and the Germans, still to this day, as far as I know, do not, they're not open with their stores on Sunday. Right? I mean, we went there, and we were like, what are we going to do? You know? And we were Christians. So we're like, wow. And a friend of mine, when I told him about this, he said, how's anybody expected to make a living? Well, they're honoring God. They're saying we're going to, I mean, they're messed up in other ways, but they're saying, God says, don't work like every other day. Worship me. And refrain from the things that you're doing during the week like that, and depend on me. Show me that you think that I'm the provider for your life, not the things that you're doing to work to get them. And so that kind of an attitude is also one that we need to develop in our lives in prayer. So guys, really at heart, what God is saying to me, to us, is to know that He wants to give us good things, and He's simply asking us, spend time with me and pray. Show me. And develop that in your life so it's a daily thing. We recently had friends with us, staying with us. This is a guy who met Paul Cardell, and he and his wife, Betty, in the morning said, we'll eat breakfast after we've had our time with God. Right? They were on vacation. They could have said, you know, we'll just skip it this time. They said, we have to have our time with God, read the Word, spend time in prayer, and then we can do it. So these are things that people do as disciples of Christ. These are things that they're not just unusual things that we're called to sometimes. It is a basic, fundamental part of our lives that helps our lives, and we will see the difference immediately when we do them. So be encouraged. God is asking you to spend time with Him and to ask Him, knowing that He will give you the things that you ask for. Seek Him, knowing that you will find Him. Him. Knock. You don't have to pound. You don't have to hit the knocker on a door. You knock with your fist, and the door will open, and on the other side is a loving and trusting God who welcomes you, wraps His arms around you, and says, welcome. I'm here for you. Pray. Father, thank you for this word. Jesus, thank you for teaching your disciples that day so that we can also benefit. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. We've now written down things that are on our hearts and with a date on them, Lord, because we trust that you will answer them. We pray, Father, for our faith to grow, just like vegetables being nourished by the sun and the rain and the soil and the nutrients that we need. We need you, the one creator who has given us all those things. And you love us and want to give us good things. And so help us, Lord, to trust you and to say to people, just as the psalmist did, I love the Lord because He inclined His ear to me and heard my prayer. We thank you. Our God who answers prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.